Welcome to the program for Thursday, January 12, 2012, on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thursday in the 3 o'clock hour is Industry Chatter, and take it a little bit of a different tact on the show today. Normally I have a leader of a company who does business with the federal government, but there's a lot of uncertainty in the market, and so to try to help sort it all out, different voice today. It's Larry Allen, who is the president of Allen Federal and, of course, a longtime expert in this field, former head of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And, Larry, as always, it's terrific to have you in the studio.
Francis, great to be here. Thanks.
We were talking a little bit before we went on the air about the whole uncertainty thing. And as long as there is uncertainty in the federal market, people like you will have no lack of business. But I wonder if you've seen a time in all the time you've been doing this where there are fewer things that we actually know about how we're going to proceed when it comes to how government and industry will work together over the next couple of years.
Well, there certainly are a lot of variables in the marketplace right now, Francis. You know, one of the things I would say is that in the federal government, as I suspect in other business arenas, there is, I think, some hope that we don't know things that we actually do kind of know, which is that, you know, we know that this is going to be kind of a tight market for contractors this year. It's also not going to be any fun for federal employees, I think. Congress is going to make a political football out of some of their issues in an election year. So it's not so much that we have a lot of variables, which we do. It's that we are actually, I think, some of us hopeful that there are more variables than we think there are, because there are some things that look right now to be certainties that aren't really attractive.
Yeah. And I imagine what you're talking about there is mostly what revolves around the top lines that agencies are going to be dealing with this fiscal year.
Exactly right. And you see the headlines, and Federal News Radio puts out a number of them as well, things about the Air Force looking again to cut its civilian workforce. And that follows right on the heels of an announcement made recently by the Army. And, of course, a lot of people in this town make their living doing business with the Department of Defense. And you're talking about the Department of Defense coming up with some fundamentally game-altering cuts, the likes of which we probably really haven't seen since the late 1940s. And not too many people, at least, are in the working world now who were in the working world then. And it's going to be very challenging for the companies that are doing business in this market. And, you know, one of the things I was saying beforehand is, you know, ironically, there are going to be some areas where the government's open for business where some defense contractors in particular may have looked dismissively at that part of their business in the past, come to find out, hey, that's where the action's going to be this year.
Systems integration's keeping our doors open instead of some of the things that we thought used to do that kind of
thing. Right. Weapon systems development, not so much. But, you know, plenty of work to be done if you have a cyber capability or something that can be moved to the cloud.
I had a conversation the other day with a CIO at a federal agency, and we were talking about the idea that his job might get harder because of that kind of thing over the next year or so, simply because a lot of companies will come along and slap cybersecurity or cloud onto some kind of solution service that they want to sell that maybe isn't really, but they figure that's a way to try to scare up some extra business.
I think he's absolutely right, and frankly, I'd be surprised if some companies haven't already started to do that. The mantra of cloud, for example, Francis, has been in the marketplace for about a good year now. So if you know that your government customer is looking for a cloud based solution, you know, pretty soon you're going to be up on your Cumulonimbus and Cirrus.
I haven't heard that's the first meteorological reference to cloud I think we've ever had on In Depth with Francis Rose. So kudos to you for that one. How do you talk to a company and say, you know what, maybe you think that's a way for you to sell something, but it's really long-term not the way for you to sell it because you're not really offering what the customer wants. Is a company really open to hearing that? Or if they're willing to go that direction, is that something that's...
I think in this marketplace, that's a tough phrase for a company to hear unless they can actually put some meat on the bones of whatever solution they're offering. Let's say they've slapped cyber on it. Well, you have to have some cybersecurity meat to back up your headlines. The worst thing you can do as a company is slap cyber on something that's not, and then you go and meet with a CIO, which, you know, they have scarce time and they're senior people. And if you lose your credibility, this is a tight-knit community.
Yeah.
You run the risk of not just losing your credibility with that one customer, but with a fair chunk of the CIO community. So it's a short-term bit of attractiveness, I think, to label things in whatever current buzzword is likely to get you business. But I would counsel against doing that unless you can really walk the talk.
Mm-hmm. Last time you were in here, we talked about the idea of the shrinking of the pool and the idea that some companies were going after business that they wouldn't have before. And dollar-wise,
yes,
going after smaller deals than they would have in the past. And that kind of pushing everybody down a layer to some degree to where some small companies are really competing against companies that they never would have imagined that they would have to compete against. Are you seeing more of that now as the budgets continue to shrink?
Certainly seeing more of that where companies are going after opportunities wherever they can find them because there aren't that many large opportunities, Francis, around. So while the total number of opportunities may still be kind of okay, the dollar volumes that are ascribed to each one are a little bit less than they had been. Mm-hmm. At the same time, however, there's been a newer phenomenon that's developed in this market, and that is you started to see more agencies looking to do small business procurements as a matter of course. Some say it's just easier for me in a time of tight constraints to do something as a small business set-aside. I don't have to do a full and open competition. I can just go to a few number of small businesses and get it out the door. There also is the perennial pressure from Congress and policymakers to give more business to small businesses. While that's always there in the background, Francis, it seems that it's not really just background noise right now. More agencies seem to be hearing that message from SBA. So you really got two phenomena happening. One, you have the traditional one that I talked about where the larger businesses are going after a cascadingly smaller number of opportunities, dollar opportunities, than they previously would have. At the same time, you see those larger businesses and the ones that are maybe not small but aren't really large either being pinched because there is a preference now to do more things via small business than perhaps we would have done a year or two ago. It keeps the regulators off our back. Nobody looks twice. I get to say that I met my goal, that type of thing. So really, unless you're a small business or a very large business, if you're stuck in the middle, that's a tough place to be right now.
I had an interesting conversation along that lines with a guy at ELC this year, and he's at a company that's graduating from the 8A program.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, so how's it looking? What do you think? And he said, I think that within 5 years, we'll either do five times the business we did this year or we'll be out of business. And I asked him why, and he said, well, part of it's internal, but part of it is, and he went on to describe that phenomenon that you just talked about. And he said, he named three of the big guys, and he said, these are the kinds of companies that are getting in on deals. They're bidding for the same kinds of deals that we're bidding on, and we never expected, you know, a year or 2 years ago that that's the kind of company that we would be competing against.
Yeah, this isn't a very easy time to be graduating from the 8A program. It's also not a very easy time generally if you're a small business, you know, congratulations, you want a big opportunity.
Yeah.
But if now that means you're no longer small.
Yeah, now we're pulling the training wheels off and we're pushing you down the hill as hard as we can.
Right, and in a marketplace where you've got a lot of fins circling in the same waters, and you have to be able to really show your value statement, and you really have to be able to have two other things. One is an exceptionally good focus on what your business is and is not.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be able to have the relationships with people in those federal agencies so that there's a feeling of trust and assurance that you're going to be the one who can get the job done for them.
It's really a different selling proposition than it was even 5 years ago when I first started here and started to talk to people in the contracting community about how they do business with agencies. I mean, that whole concept is, that seems to me like it's like 99% of the business cycle now is they trust that we're going to be able to do it rather than we have somebody go in there and they sell something in a traditional sales transaction.
This is a very risk-averse market in the federal market on the part of federal buyers. They're going to go with the lower cost solution, the one that is going to garner them less scrutiny, hopefully fewer protests. So it makes sense that you really have to have good relationships and trust and past performance built up in order to succeed in that.
We've got to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about some of the things that you're seeing companies doing well in the wake of all of the situations that we're in right now, some of the things that we've talked about, what you see companies doing to really help themselves for the long term. Larry Allen of Allen Federal is my guest on Industry Chatter today on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
I know it's great to listen to me tell you all about the shaking and bacon and thunder jams of Colonials men's basketball on Federal News Radio, but there's nothing like seeing it live at the Charles E. Smith Center. Come to Foggy Bottom with the whole family to raise high the buff and blue and enjoy great college hoops against some of the country's most exciting teams at a great price. I'll still be around for road games, so visit gwsports.com or call 202-994-7325 to raise high the buff and blue today.
Facing a new day, delivering services efficiently, improving citizens' lives, Booz Allen Hamilton supports the most important challenges of government, from defense and economic security to health and cyber solutions. Booz Allen strategy and technology consultants partner with clients to deliver results that endure. Whether managing today's issues or looking beyond the horizon, clients can count on Booz Allen to help them be ready for what's next. BoozAllen.com/ready for what's next.
To win and deliver government contracts successfully, you need to align with the right teaming partners. Meet Tech Systems. While often behind the scenes, Tech Systems has worked with government agencies and systems integrators for over 25 years. In fact, every year, they deploy over 70,000 IT professionals at over 5,500 client sites nationwide, including more than 65 government agencies. Tech Systems is active across a broad spectrum of government programs and has developed deep relationships who understand what works well and who does it best. Thinking about cybersecurity, working on a cloud computing initiative. Tech Systems addresses critical program gaps related to people, projects, and work functions. Their delivery models scale from staff augmentation to IT project and outsourcing services to support transition, ramp-up, surge, and ongoing program support needs. Learn more at TechSystems.com, TEKSystems.com.
Navy Rear Admiral retired Elizabeth A. Height, Vice President, U.S. Public Sector Cybersecurity Practice, HP Enterprise Services, on the Cybersecurity Combating Threats to Our Software Environment panel, sponsored by Hewlett-Packard.
Look at what the National Defense Authorization Act, signed last January, has required the Department of Defense to do, and that is require the department to implement software security assurance capabilities for both deployed software and that software that is being delivered. delivered.
Could your IT security have made you less secure? Traditional IT security defenses, firewalls, encryption, and intrusion detection systems are extremely effective, and that's the problem. They're so good that the bad guys are now training their sights on a new target: exploitable vulnerabilities in software applications. HP can help governments secure mission-critical applications by designing security in from the beginning, finding the vulnerabilities inside existing software, and fixing them quickly and cost-effectively. To learn more, visit federalnewsradio.com/HP.
Tom Temin here with a preview of tomorrow's Federal Drive. One federal employee union head says his and his members' actions were misreported in a national newspaper. At issue is training for a controversial policy for immigration officers. Plus, we'll talk to the NIH about progress in what it calls translational sciences. Those stories and more tomorrow morning starting at 6 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. And for all the latest federal news, be sure to visit federalnewsradio.com.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Industry chatter today is with Larry Allen of Allen Federal, longtime expert in the federal contracting marketplace, and we're talking about view of the market, landscape of the market for the next 6 months to year, given where we are budget-wise. And there, we talked about some of the hardships, some of the challenges that companies are dealing with in the first segment, Larry. As you work with clients in the federal marketplace and you observe what other companies are doing, what are some things that the companies that are managing to at least hold their ground and in some cases maybe even make some progress, move forward, grow, what are they doing well? I'd imagine the baseline of it is what you were talking about building relationships and building and earning trust.
It is. Building relationships, maintaining good relationships, and keeping the lines of communication open with people in the federal market, particularly important right now. And it's not always easy, Francis, for companies to do that because in this market, contractors are sometimes viewed with some skepticism, and not everybody in the federal government is running out to embrace a discussion with a contractor. Mm-hmm. And yet, smart contractors understand that. They don't press themselves on people who, for whatever reason, are a little more reluctant to meet with them than others. But it's a big government, and there are still plenty of people on both sides of the table who understand the benefits of keeping communications open. Mm-hmm. So smart companies are investing time in keeping that communication open, keeping their profile high in the marketplace, making sure that they are seen in the areas where people are looking for them, whether it's the right promotional opportunities, the right industry events, things of that nature. And they're investing. What are they investing in? Well, they're investing in information. This is an almost insatiable appetite now for information on what's going on either in the federal market generally, but also right down to the granular dirt level. What is this specific branch of this specific service doing between August and November? And you really get people that with that degree of specificity. So if you are in turn somebody that can provide that type of information accurately to a company, then you're going to be very highly sought after in the next several months. Mm-hmm. So those are some smart things that I think companies are doing. Getting the right information, maintaining the communications, keeping their profile high, and I'll add a fourth to that, and that is making sure that they continue to have the proper contract coverage, whether it is having a passel of indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity contracts, maintaining a GSA multiple award schedule contract, whatever it is, they understand that, particularly in the IT and professional services marketplaces, that having contract coverage is a baseline requirement. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have that, then you better be able to partner quickly with somebody who not only just has one of those, but knows how to use it.
One of my recent industry chatter guests and I were talking off the air about that very thing. And I said, how much time do you spend and how much money do you spend getting on every contract in your that you could potentially be on? And he said, I can't even quantify it off the top of my head, but
it's more than you would ever imagine. And I thought about that, and as I was trying to process that, he said, we have to be everywhere. We have to be on every one. We can't miss an opportunity. And so the question that I go to then is, are there too many, and why do we keep seeing new ones when there's all these out there? Dan Gordon was here on Tuesday. He said there's plenty of coverage. We want agencies to avoid duplication and use contracts that already exist. Every OFPP administrator has said that. Doesn't matter what party, doesn't matter what administration. They've all said that, and yet we continue to see more and more and more and more.
Well, I think Dan's right, by the way. When Dan was at the Office of Federal Procurement Policy, no one gave him an armed police wing to go out and actually be able to enforce that on individual agencies. I think the short answer, Francis, is yes. There are way too many IDIQ contract vehicles, and you continue to see them proliferate. However, what your guest said is also true. Even the very largest companies that have multiple contract vehicles, they still feel that they have to be everywhere, and they spend a lot of time and a lot of resources ferreting out where different opportunities are in the pipeline, making sure that they have the right contacts in those specific contracting organizations, and trying to stay ahead of the curve so that they know when they are going to have to allocate even more resources to do things like fill out an RFP. And, you know, when is it going to be? What type of RFP is it going to be? And how detailed is our pricing going to need to be? All kinds of things. And also now, you know, who are my small business teaming partners going to be? Because one of the other things that's tightened up is I have to commit now, if I'm a large business, to using the small businesses I go in with. So another thing that's happening in this market is larger businesses looking to get contract coverage, knowing they're going to have subcontractors. They are taking their subcontracting responsibilities and determinations. They've always taken the responsibilities seriously, but the determinations of who they choose are now becoming much more specific and detailed, whereas before it's like, yes, let's talk to these five people, fine, we'll load them up. Now you want to make sure that you're actually getting people on the contract who you can go to perform real work, not just to check off a box.
Larry Allen is the president of Allen Federal, and you can learn more about them at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. We've got a link to your website posted there, Larry. We'll continue our conversation on Industry Chatter on Federal News Radio 1500 AM in just a moment.
Meeting mission goals through health, brought to you by General Dynamics IT.
Protected health information, or PHI, remains at risk as healthcare providers make the move to mobile. According to the second annual benchmark study on patient privacy and data security, 81% of healthcare providers say they use tablets, smartphones, and mobile applications to collect, store, or transmit health information. But 49% of those admit they're not taking steps to secure their mobile devices. Resulting data breaches and identity theft cost the healthcare industry billions.
General Dynamics IT is meeting the challenges of a complex healthcare environment that requires far-reaching experience and full-spectrum capabilities. Government, military, and commercial health payer organizations rely on General Dynamics IT's health services, solutions, and support to tackle their toughest issues. General Dynamics IT's broad understanding of healthcare data, military health missions, fraud, waste, and abuse protection, and more ensures support and innovation tailored to your real-world needs. Today's healthcare challenges are formidable. To learn more, go to GDIT.com. Moving your enterprise to the cloud doesn't mean you have to let go of IT control. With BMC's proven cloud lifecycle management from IronBow, you can visualize and manage data and applications in public, private, or hybrid clouds through a single pane of glass. It gives you the control you need to deliver peak performance for users. Find out more about BMC Cloud Lifecycle Management and the BMC Public Sector Forum at IronBow.com. Keep your IT in view and under control in the cloud.
Hey ladies, I'm Jill Sorensen, Caps beat reporter from Comcast Sportsnet. Want to see hockey from a woman's perspective? Then visit ScarletCaps.com to sign up for Club Scarlet for free. Members receive an exclusive newsletter, a chance to win great prizes, and invitations to members-only events, including Hockey and Heels. Check out ScarletCaps.com for the latest blogs and info. To join, log on to ScarletCaps.com now.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on Federal News Radio at 10 a.m. Please join my partner, John Dedon, as he interviews Kevin Hanford of Hanford Financial, Certified Financial Planner, this Saturday. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman & Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire D.C. metro area. To learn more about the firm, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
A Sweet Risk. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Nicholas Garlow with HHS HealthBeat. Sugar-sweetened beverages. Drink more rather than less, and your health may suffer, especially for women. A study observed the health impacts of drinking excessive sugar-sweetened drinks, soda, flavored water, and non-alcoholic beer. Christina Shea is at the University of Oklahoma Health Sciences Center.
There have been lots of studies, including this one, that have shown higher consumption of sugar-sweetened beverages can lead to the development of cardiovascular disease and its risk factors.
Women who had two or more sugary beverages a day had a four times greater risk of developing type 2 diabetes. That's compared to women who had just one sugary drink a day. The study, presented at the American Heart Association Scientific Sessions 2011, was supported by the National Institutes of Health. Learn more at hhs.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Nicholas Garlow.
Government financial managers are committed to produce timely, reliable, and useful financial information. Stay on top of issues that affect you at AGA's 10th Annual National Leadership Conference, February 16th and 18th at the Ronald Reagan Building and International Trade Center. AGA's NLC features the latest tools and innovations to help agencies do their jobs more easily and more effectively. Don't miss it. Register today at agacgfm.org/NLC. Listen each week for Tech Tuesday on Federal News Radio. Every Tuesday, we zero in on how technology inspires innovation. Tuesday mornings at 11, it's Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy, the latest on products that help bring policy to life. Then Tuesday afternoons at 12:30, join Federal News Radio's Jason Miller for Ask the CIO. Hear from the top of the food chain on how your agency is using technology today. Tech Tuesday, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
This is Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. You're listening to In Depth with Francis Rose. It's industry chatter today with Larry Allen, who is the president of Allen Federal. Normally, I give folks an opportunity to give me the elevator pitch, and I didn't at the beginning of the show today. So tell me what you're doing for people through Allen Federal.
Well, Francis, Allen Federal, appreciate it, by the way. Allen Federal works with companies that are in the federal marketplace on strategic ways to improve their business, whether it's improving their messaging, whether it is providing them with market intelligence on where to focus and who to talk to, or whether it's the right introduction to a teaming partner with another company. We're there to make our clients' lives more successful when selling to the federal government.
So you're engaged in that relationship building thing that we were talking about earlier. I'm really fascinated by how that's really transformed the way that companies are doing business in the federal space. I mean, this has never been what I would call a broad community where there are a lot of people that don't know a lot of the other people. I mean, it's always been kind of a small community, but it seems to me, at least, over the last like year or two, it's gotten a lot tighter than it ever was before. Is that fair to say, do you think?
Well, I think it's fair to say, and there are a number of reasons for that. I mean, 7-8 years ago, we would have talked about a federal market that was still really looking at innovative solutions to some of their acquisition and operational challenges. People that were looking outside of the normal areas maybe to meet their needs. And a lot of times that worked, sometimes it didn't, but a lot of people got credit for trying. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they didn't do anything totally off the charts. And in the past 4 years, Francis, it's now not really that market.
Mm-hmm.
There's no benefit to being innovative. In fact, you always have an IG or congressional overseer, sometimes both, looking over your shoulder to make sure that you did it exactly the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, then you know your agency head hears all about it and has to go explain his or herself in front of a congressional committee.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you, as the GS-13, have to go and do that, which is not fun.
I was going to say, not a good idea.
No,
not a lot of, fun there.
No. So this is a government market now where if there's trust and there's past performance built up and you know that a contractor has done a good job for you before, you're not going to break the procurement rules to do business with that firm. But you are going to be looking out for whatever offer they send in in response to your current needs. And if they've done a good job and you haven't been called on the carpet and they've come in on price and budget where they said they were going to be the last time, hey, that's a big couple of factors in your favor for follow-on business because we're all people. And that's kind of where we are today. I mean, if you can be the low-cost, risk-averse decision, then you're in good shape.
Now, you use a word there, cost.
Yes.
That is another one that kind of makes the hair stand up on the back of my neck. Because I noticed all of the response, and I mentioned this to Roger Waldron, your successor at the Coalition for Government Procurement. He was on the show on Monday, and we were talking about the new DOD strategy and how it might affect the contracting community. And I noticed that the statement that he put out and the Professional Services Council and a number of other groups, they all used the word value and did not use the word cost at all.
Right.
And when I'm hearing so many companies saying, we're getting these requests for proposal from the Pentagon, and you can tell, even though they don't say it, you can tell that they're looking for lowest price technically acceptable and not looking for best value, even though they look like they're best value contracts. And people say, yeah, we're looking for it. Where do you see that dynamic playing out over the next maybe couple of years with price or cost versus value?
Well, certainly in the marketplace today, Francis, I think that the people who have said that they're seeing, particularly from DOD, a request for low-priced offers are right on.
Mm-hmm. The
Air Force is one agency that has been very clear that all things being equal, they're going to a low-priced, technically acceptable format. Best value is a great buzzword, and it's one that I advocated for and still advocate for in federal buying because, you know, you don't want a government that buys a fleet of Yugos.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great price, but, you know, it's not really going to give you the functionality that you're looking for. The life cycle cost for maintenance is going to be a little higher. I'm not sure how many federal agency buyers are looking at those factors today, though. Hey, you know, the Yugo or whatever the modern equivalent of that is gets, you know, 40 miles to the gallon and it, you know, has low emissions,
mm-hmm.
and, hey, let's rock and roll.
Right.
And I think that in some cases that's appropriate to do government business on a low-price, technically acceptable offer where you have things well-defined or you're buying commodities. But a lot of times, particularly in the arena of professional services, low-price, technically acceptable doesn't really lend itself
mm-hmm.
to that type of buying, and it's not a one-size-fits-all solution. It's a big government that buys lots of things.
Mm-hmm.
So where do I see that coming out? Well, I think for the foreseeable future, Francis, we're going to be in a low-price, technically acceptable market. Just as in the mid-90s to late 90s, we were in a best-value marketplace into the early 2000s. Now we're in low price, technically acceptable. If you're a contractor, you have to figure out what that means for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to really, I think, be able to show just what your technical proficiency is and why it's worth maybe paying an extra dollar or two for than your competitors. I don't see that changing anytime soon. But I do think that procurement, like many other things, is cyclical.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get to the point where a couple of these low-price, technically acceptable projects fall flat on their face, and there are the attendant articles in the press and oversight hearings and chest thumping, and then we'll be back to best value. And I think everybody will be able, you know, there obviously you'd like to have the pendulum stop somewhere sort of in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can get to that point, then there is no such thing as an inherently bad procurement method among the ones that are authorized by statute and legislation.
Mm-hmm.
It is being able to choose the right one for your specific needs and understanding that no one approach is going to meet everything.
I'd listened in on a conversation among two industry folks at an event not too long ago about that subject, and one person was kind of complaining, quite honestly, about the concept of LPTA, and that's all we're seeing, and on and on and on. And the other person in the conversation said, don't worry about it. All it's going to take is one or two big flops, and that'll be the end of that. Some big expense 18 months or 2 years out after the execution period started, and that's going to be the end of that. And that fits with what you're talking about, I think.
Well, and I think that's exactly what's going to happen. And unfortunately for LPTA, low price technically acceptable, because there are some parts of government procurement where you probably can use that well. But if it gets caught up and gets tainted, ironically, with the taint that best value has attached to it now, then it will similarly fall out of favor just as much as best value has in the current marketplace.
Larry Allen's my guest, president of Allen Federal, and we'll continue our conversation on industry chatter on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Facero as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, nutrition, dietary supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio. Listen to past shows and discover other healthy living resources at myvillagegreen.com. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane.
Dude, check out my new Pioneer DEH44 car stereo with built-in HD radio technology and new HD2 HD3 channels.
HD2 HD3 channels?
Get with it, man. HD2 HD3 channels are all these new free digital radio channels.
How do I listen to them?
With the new Pioneer DEH44 HD radio receiver. It's only $120 at Walmart.
Walmart? That's cool.
Yeah, just go to HDradio.com and check out the station guide. They're adding new channels all the time.
Learn about HD radio technology at HDradio.com. More radio, more value.
You download the free application for your iPhone or iPad or Android smartphone, and then you go to their network, and then it knows all of the infrared codes for these things, and it's got the programming for 500 models. And then once you download the specific details for the model of the equipment that you have, this remote control will control everything.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The Department of Defense faces some big changes in the coming years. I'm Federal News Radio's DoD reporter, Jared Serbin. We help you track those changes every Wednesday afternoon from 2 to 3 with On DoD. Each week, we'll talk one-on-one with defense experts and senior managers about the policies, programs, and innovations that affect warfighters and how the military will continue to meet its mission. That's On DoD, Wednesday afternoons at 2, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Want the latest Department of Defense news? Listen every Wednesday for DoD Wednesday on Federal News Radio. Wednesday afternoons at 2, Federal News Radio DoD reporter Jared Serbu hosts On DoD, a discussion with senior managers about how the department meets its mission. Then stick around Wednesday afternoons at 3 when in-depth host Francis Rose brings you Pentagon Solutions, a deep dive into the issues and challenges of the defense community. All this plus our daily DoD updates at 40 past the hour, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Larry Allen is here. He's the president of Allen Federal, and he's in on Industry Chatter today. Every Thursday in the 3 o'clock hour, we talk to a federal business leader about what is going on in the federal marketplace. One of the things that we've seen a lot over the last couple of years has been M&A, mergers and acquisitions. And I was struck by the language that Ashton Carter used, the Deputy Defense Secretary, when he and Michelle Flournoy were talking about this new strategy at DOD on Friday. The concept that he got to on a number of occasions, and he approached it a different way each time it seemed, but it always came back to the same place, was we want to make sure that we maintain a competitive landscape. And what I read between the lines of what he said was we don't want to see the same thing in M&A that we saw after the drawdown in the 1990s when companies, I think we went from like 12 or 15 major defense contractors down to a half dozen or less. And I wonder what you expect to see compared to what the Pentagon wants to see, not just in DOD contracting, mm-hmm. but kind of across the board in contracting as a whole.
Well, I think you absolutely read between the lines correctly, Francis. Dr. Carter and Secretary Panetta have both been outspoken in saying that they do not want to see another big round of mergers and acquisitions among some of the companies that you would call titans of the defense industry.
Mm-hmm.
Those are companies that tend to listen to what the Secretary of Defense and the deputy say.
Mm-hmm.
And if they think that it would be bad for their business, then they will go off forewarned.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that we're not going to see a round of M&A activity. I think there is substantial pent-up demand in this marketplace, not necessarily among the top four or five, unless they're going to go hunting themselves for slightly smaller companies that they can buy up. You certainly, I think, will see that. I think that you will definitely see if there is financing available, and it doesn't have to be public finance either.
Mm-hmm.
This can all certainly be done via private money. You will certainly see over the next year to 18 months a fair amount of merger and acquisition activity among government contractors as they look to provide themselves with the leverage necessary to survive in a tight budget time. They're going to be looking for specific expertise. They're going to be looking for prospective takeover targets that have the types of relationships we've been talking about this
mm-hmm.
hour. So I think you're going to definitely see some M&A activity. The other thing that I think you may see over the next year or so is some companies that have gotten into the government market because the government was the only ones that were buying, maybe starting to ease out of this market. If we continue to see some of the preliminary market indicators that we've seen about the commercial market may be coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier today, we had the announcement that retail sales for 2011 were an all-time record. We saw last week the new hire number coming out and being the strongest that it's been for a number of months.
Mm-hmm.
These are all just one-month snapshots. However, if they continue on for the next quarter or so, I think they'll be indicative of some commercial market rebound. For the federal market, that historically has meant that companies that jumped in when the commercial market opportunities dried up either will jump back out
mm-hmm.
and go back to their playing fields where they were before, or they will only keep a foot in the government market and go back and put maybe their best foot in the commercial market. I think that is not the smartest recipe, but inevitably this is what companies will do. What that means is if you are a dedicated government contractor and this is the way you do your business, that while you have a tremendous amount of competition today, you're hoping for a commercial market recovery, because that means, among other things, that you're going to see fewer competitors playing in your sandbox.
Yeah. To wrap up, when we come back, I want to go back to the relationships thing that we started with, because I think it is so important. And I have a couple things I want to run by you when it comes to that. Larry Allen of Allen Federal is my guest on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's Industry Chatter, and we'll wrap up in just a second.
To win and deliver government contracts successfully, you need to align with the right teaming partners. Meet Tech Systems. While often behind the scenes, Tech Systems has worked with government agencies and systems integrators for over 25 years. In fact, every year, they deploy over 70,000 IT professionals at over 5,500 client sites nationwide, including more than 65 government agencies. Tech Systems is active across a broad spectrum of government programs and has developed deep relationships who understand what works well and who does it best. Thinking about cybersecurity, working on a cloud computing initiative. Tech Systems addresses critical program gaps related to people, projects, and work functions. Their delivery models scale from staff augmentation to IT project and outsourcing services to support transition, ramp-up, surge, and ongoing program support needs. Learn more at TechSystems.com. TEKSystems.com.
Powered by the latest second-generation Intel Core processors, new HP ProLiant GS servers are an ideal choice for reducing power costs and getting a jump on your cloud computing initiatives. GovConnection, a federal elite HP partner, can show you how the power of HP and Intel can achieve ROI in as little as 2 months. Talk to GovConnection and find out how together they can power your data center into the future. Call 800-800-0019 today.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit, presented by NITP, has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit, Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 AM Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
Hey Eagles fans, tickets to All American University men's and women's basketball home games in Bender Arena are on sale now. Get them online 24/7 at AUEagles.com or by calling the Athletic Ticket Office at 202-885-TIXX. That's 202-885-TIX. Make your plans now to be part of another historic season in Bender Arena. Catch the Eagles' next home game Saturday, January 14th against Holy Cross at 2 p.m.
In the beloved fairy tale Beauty and the Beast, Belle and the Beast learn that true beauty is found within and live happily ever after. Today, our happily ever afters are being threatened by the fact that nearly 1 in 3 children in America are overweight or obese. Now is the time to make good nutrition and physical activity part of your family's daily lifestyle. To learn more, visit letsmove.gov. Brought to you by Let's Move, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Ad Council.
We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's Industry Chatter on In-Depth with Francis Rose in the 3 o'clock hour every Thursday. Larry Allen of Allen Federal is my guest in studio today. And we started the show talking about relationships, and the topic's come up a couple other times, and that's where I'd like to wrap it up today. What are people, what are companies doing well in this market that are developing those relationships? We were talking during the break about it's not just going to industry events and shaking hands with somebody at the end during the cattle call. It's a lot more than that. The people who are doing it well, even people who are new to the market, what are they doing? How are they doing that so that that they can build that trust that you were talking about before?
Well, I think they're doing a couple of things, Francis. One is they're taking the information that's generally available in the marketplace, and they're acting on it in the right way. And what I mean by that is, you know, everybody knows that one of the top four issues in IT right now is data center consolidation. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. What's your specific way to make somebody's data center consolidation problem go away?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, how can you act on the information that's out there? Not go and tell the story about how great you are, but how are you going to solve somebody's specific problem in a government agency? That means not just talking about your capabilities, but showing that person in the government that you've actually listened to what their problem is and that you've taken some time to think up a solution to it.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing you do when you have these opportunities to discuss things with federal executives is to make sure you're being straight with him. And we talked a little bit about this earlier. Tell him what you know. Don't make things up as you go along. And goodness sakes, don't embellish the truth.
Yeah.
If you have one opportunity to have a good relationship and make a good impression, that's not the time to put on your car salesman, not to impugn car salesman, but it's not the time to put on your best car salesman impression. It's the time to be the good business partner and show that you understand what the solution is that they need.